Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 9, Answers by Citing the Lord's Version, Text 17. Adhyahani asanamastitam param. Vritam chatu so dasha pancha shakti bi. Yuktam bagai swayer itaratra chadruvai. Swaeva daman ramamana mishwaram. Abhyarhani asanam asti tam param. Vritam chatu so dasha pancha shakti bihi. Yuktam bagai swayar itaratra tadruvai. Swaeva daman ramamana mishwaram. Adhyarhani asanam asti tamparam. Vritam chatu so dasha pancha shakti bihi. Yuktam bagai swayar itaratra chadruvai. Swaeva damam ramamanam ishwaram. Vritam chabal chodha shashanchi shakti bhi. Yuktam bagai swayari charatra chadruvai. Saiva dhamam ramamadam ishwaram. Adyarhani asanam asti tamparam. Vritam chatu so dasha panchi shakti bhi. Vaishnavis, Adyarhani asanam asti tamparam. Tam chatu sodasa pancha shakti bhi. Adyarhaniya, greatly worshipable. Asanam, throne. Astitam, seated on it. Param, the supreme. Vritam, surrounded by. Chatuhu, four. Namely, Prakriti, Purusha, Mahat, and ego. So Dasha, the 16. Pancha, the 5. Shaktibhi, by the energies. Yuktam, empowered with. Bhagai, his opulences. Sai, personal. Itaratra, other minor prowesses. Cha, also. Adruvahai, temporary. Sve, own. Eva, certainly. Daman, abode. Ramamanam, enjoying. Ishwaram, the Supreme Lord. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Translation. The Lord was seated on His throne and was surrounded by different energies, namely the 4, the 16, the 5, and He was endowed with His 6 natural opulences, along with other insignificant energies of the temporary character. But He was the factual Supreme Lord, enjoying His own abode. Purport. The Lord is naturally endowed with His 6 opulences. Specifically, He is the richest. He is the most powerful. He is the most famous. He is the most beautiful. He is the greatest in knowledge. And He is the greatest renouncer as well. As for His material creative energies, He is served by the 4, namely the principles of Prakriti, Purusha, Mahatattva, and ego. He is served by the 16, namely the five gross elements, earth, water, air, fire, and sky. The 5 perceptive sense organs, the eyes, ears, nose, tongue, and skin. The 5 working sense organs, the hands, legs, voice, evacuation outlet, and genitals, and the mind. And He is also served by the 5, which includes the sense objects, namely form, taste, smell, sound, and touch. All these 25 elements serve the Lord in the material creation, and all of them are personally present in Vaikuntha to serve the Lord there. The insignificant opulences numbering 8, the Ashtasiddhis attained by yogis for temporary overlordship, are also under His control. But He is naturally full with all such powers without any effort, and therefore He is the Supreme Lord. The living being, by severe penance and performance of bodily exercises, can temporarily attain some wonderful power, but that does not make him the Supreme Lord. The Supreme Lord, by His own potency, is unlimitedly more powerful than any yogi. He is unlimitedly more learned than any gyani. He is unlimitedly richer than any wealthy person. He is ultimately more beautiful than any beautiful living being, and he is unlimitedly more charitable than any philanthropist. He is above all. No one is equal to or greater than him, nor can anyone reach his level of perfection in any of the above powers by any amount of penance or yogic demonstrations. The yogis are dependent on his mercy. Out of his immensely charitable disposition, he can award some temporary powers to the yogis because of the yogis hankering after them. But to his unalloyed devotees who do not want anything from the Lord save and accept his transcendental service, the Lord is so pleased that he gives himself in exchange for unalloyed service. Om Ajnana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasati Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, a few things. In the purport, Srila Prabhupada mentions the four, Prakriti, Purusha, Mahatattva, and ego. So, Purusha can mean a couple of things. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, if we look through the different verses, one thing it means, its main meaning is Purusha means the, and according to one of Srila Prabhupada's synonyms, the generator of the material energy. And that basically means. Krishna is the supreme enjoyer. He's the Purusha. And in particular, it refers to the Purusha avatars, Mahavishnu, you know, Karnadakshai Vishnu, Garbhadakshai Vishnu, and Kshirodakshai Vishnu. So these three forms of Vishnu are there from Mahavishnu, the universes are all coming, and then he enters into each universe as Garbhadakshai Vishnu, lying on the Garbha ocean. And then Kshirodakshai, as Kshirodakshai Vishnu, who's lying on the milk ocean, he enters into the hearts of every living being, and even within every atom. So then, Purusha can also mean, just in general, the male principle. And Prakriti, in that sense, represents the female principle. Like, if a husband and wife have a child, you know, the husband provides the seed, which is the soul. And the mother's body provides the ingredients. So this Prakriti is like the mother in the sense of being the material energy that's providing the ingredients for the bodies of the conditioned souls that take birth in this material world. So prakriti is the general name for that energy. And mahatattva is that energy divided into all these different elements that are mentioned here. You know, the different senses, the sense objects, the elements, earth, water, fire, air, ego. So, ether, excuse me. So, and then, what is the fourth one here? Ego. That means ahankara. False, in this context, false ego. Now, Srila Prabhupada makes that clear in his purports and in some of his synonyms, like in the sixth canto of the Bhagavatam, there's some description of these four things. So that's what they are. And then in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that the soul, the conditioned soul, is struggling, you know, with these material elements. So we're fortunate, you know, Srila Prabhupada explains what the 16 are, what the 5 are. So we don't have to go into that. Point he makes in this verse, another point he makes is Krishna possesses 6 opulences, which he lists there. And that's coming from the Vishnu Purana. There's a verse in there which Srila Prabhupada very often quoted during his lectures. Aishvarasya samagrasya viryasya yasya shriya jnana vairagyos chaiva sanam bhagam itingana. I was looking through some of his earliest Bhagavad Gita lectures in New York City in 1966. And he was repeatedly citing this verse, Aishvarasya Samagrasya. Krishna has complete wealth. Viryasya yasa. Viryasya. He has complete strength. Yashasa. He has complete fame. You know, I may have some money, but it's not very much compared to what Krishna has. Even the big billionaires, you know, that we hear about who are spending all their money making trips into outer space, they don't have complete wealth. Yashasa, fame. Everyone is known in certain circles, but Krishna is known through millions and millions of universes for all time. You know, we're here speaking today about Krishna 5,000 years after he came onto this planet. We're still talking about him. So, Yashasa Shriya, Jnana Vairagyos. So he has complete knowledge. He's the completest renouncer. And Srila Prabhupada mentions here that there's nobody equal to Krishna or greater than Krishna. And that again is referring to a verse. Natasya karyam karanam cha vidyate, natat samas chabdikas cha drishyate, parashya shaktair vidai vashruyate, swabhaviki jnana bala kriya cha. So na tasya karyam karanam. There's nobody who can give Krishna a duty or to perform. In other words, nobody can tell Krishna what to do, and he has to do it. Nobody. There's nobody who can do that. In this world, everybody is subject to some other authority. Like, if we want to open a restaurant here, we have to get a license from the government, the city government. If we want to work, you know, we have to do what our employer says. But there's nobody like that for Krishna. There's no one who can tell him what to do unless he agrees to do it. Unless he decides, yes, this devotee is showing pure love for me and wants to associate with me in a certain type of relationship. Different rasas. Dasya ras. Servitorship. Sakya ras. Friendship. Vatsalya ras. Parental relationship. And madhurya ras. Conjugal relationship. So if he agrees to allow a soul to have this pure love, prema, then they can do that. Even order Krishna, like Mother Yashoda, she would tell Krishna what to do, and he would do it. So that... if Krishna agrees to enter into that kind of relationship with a devotee, then there may be someone who can tell him to do something and he'll do it. But there's nobody that can force Krishna to do anything. So achieving that platform, as Srila Prabhupada is indicating in this purport, is not very easy. One must perform unalloyed devotional service. So that is, even though it's difficult, in this age, it's been made easy by Lord Chaitanya. You know, it's stated in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that Lord Chaitanya and his associates are plundering the storehouse of love of God, the Prema Bandera. They're raiding that storehouse and they're distributing everything freely. Now, Srila Prabhupada explains that when Krishna came, he had a condition. He says, surrender to me. But Lord Chaitanya and his associates didn't make any distinction. They were distributing it freely. Like, Krishna would sometimes steal butter, you know, yogurt, and he just distributed it freely to the monkeys. So Lord Chaitanya has made that concession to us in this present age. Because Krishna will give himself to the pure devotee. So that's why, in general, such a position is very rarely given. Krishna explains, and Sadhavo Hridayamayam, that the devotees, the sadhus, they're always in my heart. And he told Narada Muni, Naham Tishtam Vaikunte, Naham Tishtami Vaikunte, Yoginam Hridayeshuva, Tatra Tishtami Narada, Yatra Gayanti Mad Bhakta. He tells Narada Muni, I don't stay in Vaikuntha. I don't stay in the heart of the yogi who's meditating. If you want to find me, you'll find me where my devotees are glorifying me. So that's Krishna is purchased by the pure devotional attitude of a devotee. So these are some thoughts on this purport. Any comments or questions? Yes.
I've asked this question many times, but it's nice to hear devotees' different perspectives on it, because it's not a... Sorry, Marsh. I've asked this question many times in the past to various senior devotees, and I like asking it because generally I've noticed there's a different perspective every time I ask it. So you were mentioning how Lord Chaitanya plundered the storehouse of love of God, making the process of devotional service very easy. But then you also mentioned that Krishna giving himself, which is one of the characteristics of bhakti, is that it's rarely attained. So it seems like there's a seemingly contradictory. You know, Lord Chaitanya is giving Krishna prema freely, but then Rupa Goswami is explaining that bhava bhakti is rarely achieved. So how do we reconcile these?
Sometimes it says, although Lord Chaitanya is making things very easy, he's giving freely, we're so unfortunate that even with that opportunity, we're not taking advantage of it. It's almost like, you know, somebody's just distributing gold coins, throwing them around, you know, and they're on the ground, they're there, and you don't pick it up. That means we're very unfortunate. You know, if it's been, you know, something that, you know, it's like a hacker. You know, I mean, normally you have to pay to see a movie or video or something on the web, but the hackers, they get it and distribute it freely on the internet. You know, it's like Lord Chaitanya is sort of like that. He's giving everything out. But we're so unfortunate, we won't take it seriously. Bhrigupati Prabhu.
Johnny, thank you, Prabhu, for a nice class. You were explaining during your class that nobody can force Krishna to do anything, but if a devotee if Krishna sees that a devotee really loves him and a lot, he'll agree to be controlled by that devotee or directed by that devotee. And you gave the example of Mother Yasoda, how she could tell Krishna what to do and he would do it. So is that what Prabhupada means, where in the last sentence he says Krishna gives himself to the devotee? Is that what's, is that the understanding of that last?
Well, that's what I was talking about, that Krishna gives himself to the devotee. But even then, he sometimes does things that let them know what his position is, like Mother Yashoda. I mean, normally she's thinking, you know, Krishna is my little child, I have to protect him. You know, she chants mantras and anoints him with different substances so he won't get attacked by some jackal or thief or something. But then one time, you know, she thought Krishna had eaten some, she'd heard from Krishna's cowherd boy friends that he'd eaten dirt. So she wanted to look in his mouth and see, have you eaten dirt? Open your mouth, let me see. And when Krishna opened his mouth, Yashoda saw within, like, the entire universal form, you know, saw everything. You know, she saw all the universes, Krishna, all the living entities, and she realized her child is that, you know, she'd been kind of treating like an ordinary child, was actually the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But then, and if a devotee is in that mood, you know, of awe and reverence, recognizing the person they're dealing with is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then the spontaneous feelings of love and devotion that the soul exchanges with Krishna isn't really possible on that level. So Krishna kind of put her back under yoga maya, you know, so she kind of forgot and again began behaving like a mother to a child.
Thank you, Prabhupada. I was going to, there was a quote, and I don't know if you had done the whole of it or whether it was half of it, but whether you did or didn't, I just want to just say it again. The pure devotee is always within the core of my heart, and I'm always within the heart of the pure devotee. The devotee does not know anything else but me, and I do not know anything else but him. So that was the quote, which means that there's a oneness and a two-ness. There are two, but the two become one as a result of equal love for one another. Krishna is loving the devotee, and the devotee is loving Krishna, and so they come together in love. Now, in regard to the question that you had answered just before, I just wanted to tack on or add on something, which is very important, and that is, it's true, Lord Chaitanya, he gives it out, and we give it out also, but many people whom we pass, they just look at us and walk away. They're not receptive. Why aren't they receptive? They're too impure. And because they're too impure, they're too full of lust, anger, greed, envy, and so forth. But those who have some receptivities, they stop. And they often listen. Not only do they listen, but they join us in the chanting. So there's a difference between receptivity and non-receptivity. And that is really the difference. So Lord Chaitanya gave it out. And he gave it out to a lot of persons who were receptive. And they joined him in. And then they chanted like anything, especially in the Ratha Yatra ceremony. And then many turned away. So that's the way it goes. And you can, even when you're doing books, some people will accept easily. And other people will ignore, disregard, and look down upon it. And says, I don't think this can help me. Oh, I'm a Christian. I'm Catholic. I'm a Protestant. That this goes against my... There's always some excuse and some answer. So therefore, that's the nature of the material world. Things go for you and things go against you. But who cares? The main thing is Krishna goes for us because we are lovingly serving him, no matter what the external outcome may be.
Okay, thank you. Speaking of questions, there's one question I get as I walk around the neighborhood here. And that question that I've gotten repeatedly in the last few days is, when is Govinda's going to open? Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
Yeah, it's open, but it's not open for business.
Oh, it is?
Thank you.
Thank you.